Jeremiah chapter 1. And it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto all the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And if you will join me over verse 16, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their hands. Verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. We all know what, as Christians, is expected of us of our behavior. And we have seen time and time again where people, both in the Bible and in life around us, have taken a stand and served the Lord and submitted to Him, and great and wonderful things have taken place. And yet we still sit sometimes as Jeremiah and say, I can't do it. Everybody else can do it, but not me. Like a child sitting on the side of a swimming pool, watching all of his friends swim the laps and go out into the deep end and dive down deep into the water to grab those little floaty or those little sinky toys that they throw at the bottom of the pool. And they're sitting there on the side, I can't do it. As though their arms were made different than the other children. As though their ability to hold their breath was different than all the other children. We sit there, I am the only weird one. I am the only one unable. I'm not fit enough, strong enough, smart enough, bold enough, brave enough, whatever. We've all got our little word that we use to describe us so that we don't have to feel guilty about not serving the Lord. You see, it's not just about being able to come into church and sit and fill a pew. What are we doing to serve the Lord? I mean, I'll tell you this, the Lord, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. He gave us this world, this big, beautiful world we live on. And yes, it is not perfect. And yes, it is filled with danger and it is filled with sorrow sometimes. It is not a great world, but I tell you what, it is wonderful to be in. When you're sitting there, I was looking out a window yesterday, this big city of Grand Rapids, and I'm looking out and where the city end, the trees began. And they were beginning to get their leaves and everything was looking wonderful and beautiful out there, and you just look out that window and you go, oh, isn't it a beautiful place? I've always loved the state of Michigan. I think it's one of the most beautiful places in the whole wide world. We live on a beautiful planet, a wonderful planet. It's beautiful, isn't it? But I'll tell you this. We find ourselves, oh, I'm so restricted. I can't do this. You know what God's given you? He gave you this big, beautiful world. Go ahead, do me a favor, take a deep breath. There's people sitting in a hospital right now and a ventilator can't do that. And you and I, who knows, could be there tomorrow. Aren't you glad to have it today? Don't take it for granted. Anybody here, you walked up into this building How many of you took the stairs? We got folks at home right now can't walk up those stairs. They struggle. They hurt. Maybe they're coming back from surgeries. Now, who knows? Maybe tomorrow any one of us could be there. Enjoy it today. Count your blessings, my friend, because they don't always stay with us. If you're full this morning, if you got yourself a little bit of breakfast or a whole lot of breakfast, I'm not here to throw stones, but you got yourself some breakfast this morning, praise the Lord. A lot of people went without. You have stuff in your pantry, God blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. So what is our reasonable service? Just that word right there, service. Lord, let me serve you. Lord, let me do something. Aren't you glad the service ain't just one thing? Man, if service was just being really good at preaching and teaching or building or being able to grow a ministry, if that was all that service was, some of us would be in trouble, but we all get to serve God in different ways. And there are many ways to serve God. We had people come up and they sing specials and that serve the Lord. We have people we get to vacuum the floor and call that serving the Lord. Every now and then you get together with a bunch of people and you're laughing and joking as you're playing and stuff. That counts as serving the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? There's more than one way to serve the Lord, and we're all capable of it. I've known many a child of God. Their bodies have aged to the point, and arthritis has taken over so much. But what they do is they'll sit there and they'll pray regularly, and they'll give encouragement to the people that can do the things. And I'll tell you this, that counts as serving the Lord. As a matter of fact, I've received a great many a blessing from a saint who sat there and just said, I can't help you, but I'm going to pray for you. That is a blessing to me. We're all called to serve the Lord, but yet we come up with our frailties. We come up with these ideas. And we forget about Philippians 4:19 that says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply all your need. Well, I don't know, brother, because I can't do this. Well, that might mean that you don't need to do that. Right? Well, brother, I can't walk for blocks anymore. Maybe we don't need you to walk for blocks. Maybe the Lord don't need you to do that. Right? You'll have what you need. Therefore, we have no excuse to sit there and say, I can't. Because if there are things that we can do, God will supply that need. If there is no supply there, my friend, there must then be no need. Now, listen to me here. If I'm sitting there and there's a difference between this leg don't work and I stubbed this toe this morning. You understand? If you're sitting there and you've got a definite physical inability to do something, that is one thing. But if that physical disability is, I am fatigued, get up and get going. You'll find the supply on the way. Right? Oftentimes I've gone out either passing out these flyers or inviting people, and I've started off going, I don't feel like it today. I'm tired today. I just want to get my business done today. I want to go here, go there. I don't want to pass out this card. I don't want to tell people to come. Maybe today I don't even want to go into the church building today. You know what I do? Let's just go in there until 10 o'clock. Let's just show up over there until this time. And I'll tell you what, you get the ball rolling and you find everything you need to get that day going. I used to do that for my job. If I could make it to 10 a.m., I could make it the rest of the day. I'd psych myself up like that. What am I going to do at 10:30? Tell my boss I'm going home? Uh-uh. And typically, if I was that sick, my boss would tell me, Matt, go home. I had good bosses. You know, Matt, you need to go home, man. You're looking rough. Okay, I'll go. Can someone drive me? You know, show up. Lord will supply your need. He will supply it. Stop sitting there and counting all of your deficiencies. Stop sitting there with your ego and your low self-esteem going, oh, woe is me. God will supply your need. Oh, but it don't look the way everybody else does it. God will give you what you need. It ain't going to look good to you. It might not look great, but I'll tell you what, the Lord's going to get you to do it. You're entitled to a little bit of awkwardness, by the way. You're entitled to things not being perfect, because guess what? You ain't perfect. And if you're looking over at other people going, well, they do it perfect, you ain't looking close enough. You know what I mean? I sit there. I got a buddy. His name is Michael. He's Brother Hugan's son down in Flat Rock. Everything that guy builds looks like a master craftsman built it in my eyes. I go, oh, Michael, that looks wonderful, man. How'd you do that? That looks great. He goes, oh, no, see, look over here. There's a nick there, and I messed that up there, and I was too heavy with the gun over here. And I didn't see any of those things. Want to know why? Because I'm looking at it from my inability. We got to stop looking at each other like that. Oh, I'm frail. Oh, I'm no good. Oh, I can't. God will supply all your needs. Stop worrying about perfection, folks. This ain't the Olympics. We ain't going for gold, silver, or bronze. We're going for well done. Amen? My job is to please the Lord. My job is to make Him smile, not impress a bunch of people who think they can do it better. Right? That is my goal. And don't get me wrong, it is not a lower goal. It is not a softer goal. This is the Father of heaven. This is the God of all planet. This is Him. Absolutely, I'm going to do it to the best I can. But I want to remind you, He knows what you are. So don't come in with your apologies, your pre-planned, I'm sorry, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be great. This ain't a bacon show. God knows your heart. He knows your skill level. You do the best you can as unto Him, and He'll be pleased. Sitting on my desk is some artwork my kids drew. You know, this last week I took Caspian over to the Flint Institute of Arts. We were walking through some things. And I tell you what, you want to have some fun, you take Caspian to the art museum. We played a game. We went through all the different art pieces, and we made up stories of all the different pieces that we could find that we thought were interesting. We had a good time. Those artworks in there, they could probably sell for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I wouldn't trade what's on my desk for any one of them. I wouldn't. Why? Because that's my child. That is from their heart. Here, Daddy, have this. Here, Daddy, hang on to this. Here, Daddy, I made this for you. God knows you. He loves you. He wants the best you got. And He'll love the best you got. And He knows. Right, and to be honest with you, with some of those modern day paintings, it's the exact same thing. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Listen, when God calls you to do something, when He tells you to... you ever have a sneeze coming and then it stops? That's the worst. I was about to apologize, and now it's gone. You ever do that? No, most of the time, when we go to do something for the Lord, we sit there, we go, oh, I can't bring a lot to the table. There's not much I can bring here. You know, there's not much. If God tells you you're going to do something, God tells you to do something, He's going to see you through doing it. And what that verse tells us is He's going to fill in that gap, and that's just more for Him. Because your imperfection is what's going to make this imperfect. Because everyone's going to look at you, and you're going to look at you, and you're going to see what little you actually did in this situation, and you're going to see how you got through this thing, and that's Me. You don't have to be strong. I'll be strong for you. You don't have to be talented. I'll take care of things anyway. You know what I mean? We imagine this, you know, David killing Goliath. Sure, David had a lot of practice with that sling, but I have a hard time believing that God did not help that stone sink into that giant's head. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that was a stone thrown in a sling at a mighty warrior wearing armor most of us could not carry. And it sunk into his head. That wasn't a .45 bullet. That was a smooth river stone, right? God did that. And David didn't sit there flexing his muscles. He didn't show off his sling hand going, that's right, that's where it is. He didn't do that. He gave God the victory. Why? Because he said this battle belongs to who? The Lord. The commands that God has given you for service in your life, those are His battles. Don't forget for a second that He will be fighting in those battles with you. And in those moments of your weakness, that is where you will best see His strength. Because so often, it is in the walking around Jericho, the raising your hand in front of a sea, that you get to notice and you get to acknowledge the most of God's power. Because God fights in ways that don't make no sense. He even chose the foolishness of preaching. Is that not what Paul said? the foolishness of preaching. Some guy red in the face proclaiming works written long ago. That's what he chose to help the world. And I'll tell you what, it could still help the world today. Not because of the power of the preacher, not because of the lighting and the lighting effects on the stage, but because of the Word of God. Turns a stuttering fool into one who can proclaim and pronounce a powerful mouthpiece of the Word of God. That's what he can do. And in the weakest of vessels, we find strength because of him. We cannot sit there and count the frailty of either mind nor hand when God is the one who tells us what to do. You are a child of God. He wants you to do well. He desires to see you succeed. And we reveal our lack of faith when we doubt ourselves. Do you really believe that you're so capable of messing a thing up? Right? You're so capable of messing a thing up that not even God could help the situation? Now listen, I'm a bit of a thick skull, you understand? And there's a very strong weakness in my game. I'll tell you a story, embarrass myself a little bit. Yesterday we were at this hospital down in Grand Rapids, and I was trying to get into it. And there's the parking garage, and as you come out of the parking garage, there is the maternity ward, for lack of a better phrase, is the maternity hospital. And then you go around, and there's the emergency room. And then you go around beyond that, and there's just different labeled parts of the hospital. And I'm walking around. The first time I went there, I walked all the way around the block trying to find the right hospital to go into to go see my uncle. Walked all the way around this big hospital lot. The hospital down there in Grand Rapids, one of the biggest I have ever seen in my life, right? Huge. And I'm walking around this building and I'm sweaty, and I come in and I'm wearing a mask and, you know, mask, beard, breathing into it, even more sweaty. And I'm going through and I'm just trying to run into this place real quick, and I get in there and everything's good. Well, I get there yesterday. And I start doing the same. I go, no, I'm not doing the same thing. I got to find the right way in. So I go into the maternity area. And I ask to use the bathroom. I go off to the bathroom. And I get to walking around trying to find someone who can help me. And I get deep into this thing. Because again, as I tell you, if you walk around the hospital with a Bible, they will literally let you do surgery. They won't look at you. Do anything you want. I finally get back out to the main area. And I say, hey, listen, I'm looking for what's labeled on the outside is the adult hospital. And she says, sir, this is all the adult hospital. I don't know, I get it, but this is the maternity ward. I just went through, there was babies crying everywhere, I get it. But the other hospital, where like the cardiovascular and things like that would be, sir, this is the same hospital. I go, what? She says, it's all under the same roof, sir. You just take that elevator up to this floor and you'll be right where you need to be. I'd already walked a half a mile around this thing before I gave up and went back in there. Right, you know how embarrassing that is? Sitting there, we were talking for a while. I went down to lunch with some of my cousins I haven't seen in a while. We're sitting there in this massive cafeteria having lunch. Walking back, and I see another elevator. It says elevator up to these floors. That's the room I want to get to on this floor. Took that elevator up. Guess where I ended up again? The maternity ward. That I'm sitting there. One of my cousins is going, I don't think this is the right elevator. I go, I don't know. I said the room number's up here. We got into it. That door opened up. There was a lady in a wheelchair with a baby like this. There's dad over there with a cart full of stuff and a car seat and bags of things and some balloons. And I go, you know, turn to her. I go, you know what, Alicia? I think you're right. She goes, you should have just listened to me. I go, there was a huge part of me that really wanted to. And we go back down. She egged on me the whole way getting back out of there. I'm terrible at directions. I got to have a map. I got to have a GPS. You got to tell me how to get there. If I ain't been there before, I need to. You got to point me the way. Oh, I'm frail. Oh, I can't do things. Get over it. There's tools. There's resources. Listen, you sit there, but you got to understand who I am. God knows who you are. Is that not what he said to Jeremiah? What is it that he starts this conversation with? Verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, I made you. I made you. I know what you're about. I know what you can or cannot do. I structured you before you had parts. I knew what you'd be. I knew how long your arms would be. I know how much hair would be on your head. I know how loud your voice would be. I know every facet and part of your brain because I made it and I planned it. For each and every one of us, before we were even a thought, God had your blueprint drawn up. And He pre-equipped you with everything you were going to need. The fun thing is that sometimes we're only ever known or remembered for the one day we used the thing God gave us before our life began. But some of us, we live that life consistently every day. We never make it on the news, and we never see our names up in lights, and nobody even outside of our family circle may know what it is that we've done. But that service to the Lord leaves an impact. You serve the Lord with what you got. You serve the Lord with what you got. You don't sit there and bemoan what I do or do not have. God formed you with everything that you needed. Jeremiah didn't see himself as enough. His very first response is what? Oh, I'm just a child. I'm young. You know, I tell you what, when we see young people, and of course, you know, there's learning, there's education, there's structure, there's formation. But I've never believed that the young people in a church are the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. That's why we educate them. That's why we teach them. It's why you show respect to them. It's why you protect them. It's why you give them tools, right? It's why you show them how things are done. Oh, I'm just a youth. I'm too young. It don't matter how young you are. You got the Word of God. If you know what God wants you to do and you're able to do it, it don't matter how young you are. You go out and you do it. Because what is the song of every young person I grew up with? Every person that came to church with me. Every person that rejected the call to come to church. Every person who rejected Christ that was my age as I was coming up. What is their call? I've got time. We ain't got time. We ain't. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be alive. You know, I made that joke this morning. Y'all are going to have to bury me here. Some of you laughed. You go, okay, brother. We don't know. We don't know. In the natural course of our expectation of how things are supposed to go, sure. It'd be me. It'd be you first, some of you. But we don't know, do we? You got to live like this is it. You know, my desire is to be able to face the Lord and be able to sit there and say, Lord, I did something with what you gave me. I didn't waste the grace that you put on my life, because I'll tell you what, I'll tell you right now where I would be were it not for the Lord. I'll tell you the struggles I would have, the sin that would be eating me up. I'll tell you right now the struggles that I would have. I know where I would be without Him. Who knows if I'd even be alive today without Him. I need Him. But that don't mean that because I am frail, because I was young, because whatever, I don't mean I can't do something about it. Young people don't have a lot of, we don't know how much time young people have either. Don't discount your age. Oh, I can't because I'm young. I'll serve the Lord later. I'll make that decision at another time. You don't know how much time you got. Serve the Lord now. I want to go before Him and be able to say, Lord, I did something with what you gave me. Now I've got this disease. It's called I don't do enough-itis. No matter what I do, I didn't do enough. Right? No matter what. Hey, I don't think I've done enough with this. I don't think I pushed hard enough. I don't think I did it right enough. I always sit there and second guess. And I tell you what, for any preacher out there, Mondays are the worst. You never catch, for as much as we talk about believing in the Lord and believing in yourself, you know, on Mondays, it is a rough time for a preacher because nobody hates that sermon more than he does. Right? Oh, that was kind of boring. All that went a little bit long. Trust me, he's going to feel it tomorrow. And I'm not talking about in his body. He's going to beat himself up. We become tremendous boxers, us preachers, on Monday, beating on ourselves. Listen, we can't do that. You serve the Lord. Oh, I'm just a youth. Don't. And what does the Lord say back to him? Don't say that. Right? What did he say? verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go. Wait, what? Oh, no, I can't. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I ain't got the mind for it. I ain't got the patience for it. And maybe some of you in the room today, you'd be sitting there saying, well, I'm too old to serve the Lord. I've got to tend to my garden, and I got to sit in my chair, because if I don't sit in my chair, it might float up to the ceiling. I'll never get that thing down. Trust me, serve the Lord while you got it in you. Because there comes a time for all of us when we'll stand before Him and we wish we had more to bring to Him. And we won't remember that chair we kept warm. We won't remember the time spent in unnecessary pursuits. Now, again, I want to be clear. Don't come up to me later. Well, brother, I have a garden. Is that a sin? That's not what I'm talking about. And you know it. I'm talking about giving your whole life to anything other than Christ. And I'm going to remind you, God lets you have your hobbies. God lets you take care of yourself. God lets you have your stuff. He does. It's not an either-or situation. You're allowed to have those things while you're serving Him. I'm talking about don't neglect serving Him for other things. Because whatever you put between Him and you becomes an idol. Becomes an idol. Oh, I can't. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too this. What does the Lord say? Don't say you're too young. You're doing it anyway. You're doing it anyway. And that ought to be our heart. Maybe I am too young. Maybe I am too old. Maybe I'm not the person for it. You know that? Yes, my wife. That's my song. You know, I might not be the person to. I may not be the right person to do it, but I just happen to be the guy doing it, right? I'm doing it anyway. What about all the doubts? What about all your fears? What about all your insecurities? Yep, they're coming with me, but we're going. Why? Because the Lord said go. And whatever I'm afraid of in my head is a whole lot less than what God could do if I sit here and I do not serve Him. It'd be a whole lot worse to miss out on those opportunities that God has given if I sit here and rattle off in my insecurities instead of serving Him. We are not allowed to give our excuses in front of God. He is not interested in our excuses when He is sitting on a pile of solutions. We got no right to lay and rest in our problems. He knows what you've got. He formed you. He made you. Do you think it does you any good to come to Him and tell him what you can't do? He knows. You got to leave room for a miracle. You got to leave room for His work. You got to leave room for His blessing. You got to have a little bit in there. You know how I like my coffee? You guys know how I like my coffee, right? Black coffee all the way up to the top. If we're going to throw something in there, we're going to throw a shot of espresso. That's what we're going to do. Get asked that question every now and then when I'm getting coffee out and about. Do you want room for cream? No, coffee. That's not the way it is with the Lord. You get a little bit of you, right? And you leave some room at the top for the Lord to fill up the rest of the way. Well, I can only bring this much ability. The Lord goes, yeah, that's fine. We'll fill you up the rest of the way. We'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. I'll give you the strength. In me you'll be found strong. But I know what you're made of. I know how tall you are, how big you are, how strong you are. I know where you are mentally. I know your spiritual fitness. I know what you need. I know what you're missing. Don't bother telling me. I've got it. Whatever you lack, I've got it. You're not, but I'm the I am, is what He says to us. And then we got to ask ourselves, maybe like Esther. And Esther 4:14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Oh man, you see what's going on in the news? Wars and rumors of wars. Do you see the heresy that's just rampant in churches today? Do you see how churches of our faith and order are falling apart, and there's not a lot of people there anymore, and they're not getting the people that the rock concert down the road is getting, and oh, it's so awful. And do you see what they're doing with the kids? Do you see what's going on with society? Oh man, I long for the good old days. Don't long for the good old days. Make the good old days. This is your time. You ever see those quizzes? What age were you supposed to be born in? Remember the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s? You were supposed to be back in the old cowboy days. Hey, now you're born for such a time as this one. That's why you had the pastors and preachers and teachers you had in the past, so you could stand in the days like this. That's why. So that when all was like this, you could still hold and be strong during the times when it's the darkest. This is your time. But what are you doing? What are you doing to fight the tide against society? What are you doing to fight the tide coming in against your family? What are you doing? Don't forget that He knows you all together. And He can work anything. He can make anything work. 1 Corinthians 3:7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Do you think I need to be a perfect planter? No, with practice, I need to try to do my best, right? So with practice, I'll get better and better and better, and praise the Lord for that. But do I need to be perfect to start? Nothing works that way. Oh, every now and then you get somebody who gets wonked on the head and they're a perfect piano player out of nowhere. But that don't normally happen, does it? Typically, your first trip on something like this is awful, right? Think of anything you've ever done for the first time. Anybody here, you got on a bicycle and you rode it perfectly and smoothly the first time? Nope, we all spent time in the picker bush, didn't we? We did. We all scraped a knee or two. We all bonked our head or something on the cement. Nothing's perfect at first. But it's not about he that planteth. It's not about them that watereth. It's God that gives the increase. I could be the most talented person in giving the gospel ever, but only ever will whom God saves be saved. You following me? I could be the worst person at giving the gospel ever, but it has no impact on that soul that's saved or not saved, because it is God that gives the increase. So stop babbling and making excuses. Well, I'm not as good at doing this part of this ministry or part of that ministry at the church as everybody else is. Don't give your excuses. Just show up and great, wonderful things happen from it. You know, I like to pick on some of the projects that we've had, and no more do I like to pick on projects than I like to pick on that fence out there. Who was the least helpful person in building that fence that was there? Anybody remember? No, you don't. And if you do, shame on you. Who was the best? No idea, right? Anybody you kind of remember that day laughing? Oh, there was some burnt up emotions from time to time. It happens. But that was fun for me. That was our first big project together. I get a kick out of that memory. We don't remember who was the most skilled. We don't remember who was the least skilled. We don't. You know what we remember? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that nice how the fence is still standing a year or so later? Isn't that nice? Praise the Lord for that, right? Well, God takes care of things. God takes care of it. Ain't none of us ever built anything like that before, but there she still stands, right? I don't know, maybe a couple of you have, but there it stands. See, we got to give up these things. We got to give up these mental games that we play with ourselves. God gives the increase. Romans 9:21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Every now and then you get a couple church members in the church and they get frustrated. Well, this guy can do this and this guy can do that, but I can't do that, and I wish I could. You know, I referenced my buddy Michael, the way he could build things. I've never been that skilled. I've never been that put together to be able to do that, and that's his way of serving the Lord. You go down to Flat Rock and most of the things that you see up in that building, Michael did himself, and I've never been able to serve the Lord that way. I kind of feel like David. All right, Lord, I want to help build the church. No, not you. Not you. I even got that happen a couple times. I'd show up for work day. I was gopher boy. I got to run for lunch, parts, and other things. They kept me out of the way. Hurt my feelings. Maybe you ain't got to serve the Lord that way. Maybe there's something else he's using you for. Right? What do you use your butter dish for? Butter, right? You don't cut up hot dogs on your butter dish, do you? No, that don't make no sense. It's a butter dish. Right? What about your bowls? Put things in the bowls. Stir things in the bowls. Mix things with the bowls. What do you cook in your bowls? Well, brother, you don't cook anything in the bowl. You got some microwave stuff maybe, but you don't cook anything in the bowl. It'll melt. Right. Some vessels do this. Some vessels do that. Now, you don't get to decide what kind of vessel you are. He decides. So don't put yourself in a corner. But if you find yourself time and time again practicing, oh, I wish I could do that, but Lord just never seems to give you that knack no matter how many times you try to learn it. Guess what? That ain't yours. I'd love to be a musician. I would. You know, my wife seems she could pick up any instrument she wants. Just make it sing. Best thing I can do when I pick up an instrument is put it someplace where no one can trip on it. That's the best thing I could do. I've tried. Oh, I've put my effort into it. Joined the church orchestra. They politely asked me to leave. No joke. Hey, Matt, maybe this isn't your thing. Okay. Hurt my feelings. Maybe it's not a vessel for that. Now, some of you, you are a vessel for that, and praise the Lord for it. But hey, just because you're good at that and I'm not good at that, should I feel bad? There's got to be something the Lord can do with someone like me, right? You may be sitting there going, well, I can't serve in this way. There's a lot of other ways you can serve. You got to keep yourself open. Put yourself into every opportunity that the Lord brings up. Be willing to be applied to any situation. And I tell you what, you'll find what kind of vessel you are. And sometimes you'll find yourself having multiple uses if you just trust the Lord. But don't sit there and say, well, because I do, you know, just because I can't sing like that, or I can't teach like that, or I can't whatever like that. Don't sit there and ever discount your Christian walk or discount your ability to serve. You have value as the vessel He made you to be. And if He wants to change what kind of vessel you are, He could change what kind of vessel you are. You know, I've known people that got into their 60s before the Lord saved them and called them to preach, and they realized that after 60 some odd years, that's why they were so loud. I kid you not. I always had this big booming voice, and now I understand why I've got this big booming voice and why I always had such an easy time reading and understanding the Word of God. I tell you what, so easy. When you find out, oh, my vessel changed. I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. And all of a sudden now I've opened a door. Now, Lord opened a door up for me. So I'll say that right. Lord opened a door up for me. Now I could do things I couldn't do before. He could change what kind of vessel you are, but never regret what kind of vessel you are. Just be proud to be used the way you are. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Go to verse 7 with me. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. To build and to plant. We have a job as Christians. We have a job as proclaimers and preachers and teachers of the Word of God. We have responsibility. Verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. We got a job to do. So what are we going to do? We're going to do it. I said a long time ago, and I hope it's not offensive, I did not come here to sing you to sleep and then bury you. We have a job to do. And I praise the Lord that we've got folks that are pushing for it and fighting for the will of God and serving them the best they can. I praise the Lord for that. I like being a part of Home Missionary Baptist Church, don't you? I like that. I love it. But I tell you what, there's always room for more. Always room for growth. Always room for better service, harder service. There's always that opportunity for us to grow in what we're able to do. What's the first thing he says? Verse 17, what does he say? He says, gird up your loins. Now we understand what that means. Most men, they would wear a tunic and then they would have breeches on underneath. And when it came time to get down to business, they'd take that tunic up, they would tuck it into their belt, and they would have the freedom to move and dip down and dig and bury and fight and battle and run and whatever it is they had to do. So that girding up the loins is kind of the same today as you or I rolling up our sleeves. We're doing something right now. we need to be prepared for work. Some of us are like, okay, well, if there is work, I can be talked into it. I'll sign this, I'll sign that. If somebody's talking religion, maybe I'll involve myself. We're there, but we're not mentally focused and prepared and looking for opportunity to serve. We need to be those people looking for opportunity to serve. How can I be of assistance? What can I do? How can I proclaim the word of God in this situation? How can I bear forth the fruit of the Spirit to make this situation better? We need to be about the work. So often we see, you know, it's very difficult when you, that was my rule, like when you go out to run or you're exercising or something like that, I don't like to have a lot of stuff. I get distracted enough as it is, right? It's hard enough for me to be out there. So if I've got to sit there and I've got to fix my hat or I've got to retie my shoes, I want everything buckled down and proper, right? And many of you, when you're getting on a car road trip, right? You're getting ready for a road trip. Everything's buckled down. Everything's fastened. I don't want to stop to have to replace the tire halfway down the road. I want to check everything now, right? If I'm going to serve the Lord, I need to get those distractions down right now. That little tunic, I don't want to trip over my tunic while I'm out here running and battling. I got to be ready to do things. So that sin, we got to get that in check. My distractions that are taking over my life, I got to get that in check. I got to put things in place that need to be in place, in the place they need to be in, before I'm able to serve the Lord. We see in verse 18 his promise to protect. Oh, but if I get out there and I start talking about the Lord, don't you understand the kind of reaction that people are having out there? Don't you get that people are going to roll their eyes and say mean things and holler in my face? They spit in the Lord's. You know, I knew a guy, he was out there, he was on the side of the road just handing out tracts and invitations, and somebody threw a rock, gashed him right above his eye, could have lost his eye. Don't you know how ugly it is out there? It is ugly. And it's dark. That's why we need to show up with love and light. Do what we ought to do. Not throw fists or arguments or as we talked about in Sunday school class this morning, give in to strife. We need to trust that God is going to protect us. As a defense city, we understand the idea of a defense city, one that is impervious, one that is protected. When you start serving the Lord, there's going to be a lot less that can affect you. There's going to be a lot less that makes you afraid, right? You're not as scared of that. You know, we've got anybody here, you ever get raccoons up in your trash sometimes? Hate that. Absolutely hate that. But you know what? You get that fence. Sometimes maybe you can keep them out. We've taken to putting the trash inside the garage on some days just to make sure those things can't get up into there and leave a big old mess, gets into the neighbor's yard. What do you got to do? You got to protect that stuff so you don't have a problem, right? Aren't you glad that those things got to stay outside? They can't get in. You might find a mouse in your house, but you've never had, you know, a skunk. Wouldn't that be terrifying? You come out and one day you found a skunk weaseled its way into your house. You might need more than a caulk gun to fix that problem, right? We need some protection. And serving the Lord will protect you. Serving the Lord will keep those temptations out. Serving the Lord will keep you on the right path. Yes, there will be some eye rolling. Yes, there will be some persecution. Yes, there will be some anger. But I tell you what, you'll be fine. The worst they can do to you is send you on up to the Father. Worst they can do. Refers to verse 18 also says, a defense city and an iron pillar. Iron pillars are incredibly strong. You wouldn't want to crash your car into one. You wouldn't want to have to fall on one either. They are incredibly strong. We so often we marvel at the strength of the people that have come before us. But the fact of the matter is that what made them so strong was their adherence and their service to the Lord. That is what made them strong. The more you serve them, the harder you become. The more steadfast you become, the more unmovable and unbreakable you become. And that leads us into the next thought here. Not just an iron pillar, but brazen walls. Of course, we know that brass can be harder than stainless steel. Pretty near close to impenetrable depending on the thickness. It is a great metal for that. We too can be that impervious, that untouchable by sin, that unflappable by force of pressure upon us if we just trust and serve the Lord. And as we continue on into verse through verse 18 I'm messing up my reading today. Please forgive me. Brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah. You know, sometimes we look and we see some of these laws that are passed in other countries about what you can or cannot say, what you can or cannot preach, what a church can or cannot do. And we sit here and we wonder, hey, when will that come here? It don't matter. I'm going to serve the Lord the way that He wants us to be, the way He wants to be served. I'm going to do exactly what He wants me to do. Well, you can't say that from the pulpit. Well, maybe I'll stand down there like Brother Lafferty does and say it. Mama say it. And I'll tell you this, I get sick and tired of hearing phrases like, well, nobody is saying that. I got a little bit of disdain for that, this mentality. Nobody is saying that we ought to do that. You know what? They often say that and then they do it. Nobody is saying that we ought to offer gender-changing surgeries to minors. But look at what Washington just passed. Weeks after saying nobody is saying we ought to do it. Weeks! We're mutilating children in our country. Weeks later! Let's go ahead and pass the law. We would never want to do that. But let's pass the law anyway. Come on! Nobody is saying that Christians can't say what they ought to say. No one is saying that we ought to throw them in jail. They never do until they do. They never do until they do. But you know what? I got no worries against the princes and the kings. I've got no problems with that. You're going to have to cut this tongue out. And by then, I've kind of got a decent grasp on some sign language. I'm not perfect. It's been a few years. A little rusty. All right? And hopefully I can live long enough to where they can't be hurting people like that. I'll start a prison ministry. China, it's 8 years. I wonder what America will be. I'd probably get a slap. It'll probably be a fine. You think it'll be a fine? We'll take up an offering. What are we going to do? Multi-billion dollar companies out there, they'll pay environmental fines all day. They call it a fee. You know, if I got to get a secondary job just so I can preach the gospel rights and pay for those fees and fines, I'll do it. I'll tell you what, I say that. But you pray for me that I continue to take that stand. And if we're still together when that ever happens, you feel free to go ahead and kick me in the rear end if I don't. All right? We'll take that stand. I ain't afraid of the princes because my God stands higher than the princes and the kings of this land. And there will come a day when the princes and the kings of this world see a man coming on a pale horse. And they see an army coming in after him. And they will know their power. They'll know their frailty. As the world collapses around them, built off of a punishment from the Lord and a lack of integrity on their own part, as everything collapses around them, they will see who the true King of Kings is. I have no fear of them. Neither should you. I will serve my Lord regardless of the force against me. I ain't worried about the false teachers either. Not just the kings and princes, but it says thereof, but against the priests thereof. I ain't worried about these modern day religionists either. These people out there with their multi-billion dollar businesses, they ain't churches, they're businesses. If you're renting out the bowling alley you got in your lobby, and if you're sitting there making it all, if you got multiple LLC corporations underneath your church's name, you ain't a church anymore, you're a business! If you're sitting there raking old people over, raking widows and poor people over, trying to get the money out of them, saying God's going to send you a special blessing if you make me rich. You buy me a plane, God will give you a blessing. You buy me a new Rolls Royce, God will give you a blessing. I tell you what, I ain't worried about them. God's going to take care of them. When they come around saying, you Baptists ought not preach that way. You Baptists ought not stand to that doctrine. You don't need to use that version of the Bible. I ain't worried about them. God's going to take care of them. They'll answer for theirs in kind. Because I'd much rather the throne I'm going to stand in front of than the throne they're going to stand in front of. Much prefer the one I got. It says the princes, the priests. It says against the people of the land. I ain't worried about the people of the land. I tell you what, if you keep your ears open to what other people are doing or saying about you, you're going to be a wreck. You're going to be a wreck. Oh, remember that one time somebody said this about me? They said that about me. Oh, it hurt my feelings. Really changed and created in me a point of view of myself. And now I don't think I'm very highly of myself. I got a low self-esteem because people made fun of me when I was a young person. You know what? That pervades a lot of mentality today. Let me tell you this. If you're still letting what somebody said to you when you're in the second grade model who you are today, you need to let that go. Because that is a long time to carry a weight that doesn't have any substance to it. It is fluff. It is nonsense. You let that go. You look at what you're doing right now. Talked to a young man just recently. He sat there. He says, my life is a mess. Everything is falling apart. And I was very surprised to hear him say that. You want to know why? Because he got himself a job and he was working hard and he was putting money into his savings. He had this plan. He was going to move down to Tennessee. He was going to start a painting business. And he sat there and he finally got his ducks in a row. He's finally got a job. He's working with a guy teaching him the business. He's making money. He's putting money away. He got a car. He got life insurance. He's getting stuff fixed up. He got himself a smooth haircut. He looked real good. He had all the... Oh, no! You know what happened with him? Everybody called him a loser all the way through. He was a young kid. As an adult man, everybody called him a loser. So there he was, finally getting his stuff together. You know what he felt like? A loser. I said, you got to stop listening to those voices in your head. And I said this, you got to start looking at the work of your hands. Are your hands tired? He goes, oh, my hands are killing me now. He goes, we worked 12-hour shifts, five days, and then today's the sixth day we're going back in. He goes, man, it's rough. I go, your back hurt a little bit? He goes, it don't hurt, but it's sore. You know how when you're working hard? I go, oh. I go, you got money in your pocket? I go, you got $100? He goes, yeah, I got $100. Goes to his wallet, pulls out $100. I go, I don't want it. I just want you to look at that $100 in your pocket. You got $100 you're willing to pull out of your pocket, go hand it to somebody. Loser don't have that. Loser doesn't come out to people and say, hey, listen, I need some help. I'm feeling rough. Losers don't do that. Losers sit at home and they let it overwhelm them. You came out, you said, hey, listen, I got a problem. You know, this is how I feel. I'm struggling. Look at what you're doing. Look at what the Lord has used you to do in the past. And stop looking at what you have done and what you think you should be doing and start relying on God to fill in the rest. Well, I don't think I'm very good. That's wonderful. God's about to make a really good story out of you. You know, I tell you what, God loves an underdog story, don't he? We looked on Friday, we looked at Isaiah. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, I can't do this. Jeremiah said, I can't do this. Moses said, I can't do this. Didn't he? Who else do we have? Peter, when given an opportunity, oh, be it not so, Lord, be it not so. We need to shut up and just do what the Lord wants us to do. That ain't very nice, is it? But we need to quiet down the doubt, quiet down the fear, and step into the responsibilities God has given us. And I promise you, you will find on the other side of that obedience, everything you thought you didn't have. God will supply, as we looked at that verse, all your need. And when you look back, you're going to be able to say, I walked up to that sea. I put my hands where I was supposed to. And look at what the Lord did. Because I tell you what, for those of you that have those moments where you can point back to and say, look at what the Lord did, isn't it nice? Don't you want more? Don't you want more? Those little trophies of grace where God stepped up and stepped into the situation and made up your lack. And all of a sudden, there's this wonderful thing that should have never happened, but it happened because, number one, you obeyed and the Lord provided everything you were worried about. That's who He is. Never doubt yourself because it ain't about you. The Lord can do anything with anyone. If He could take people like Peter, if He could take little shepherd boys like David, if He could sit there with everybody in the Bible who thought they weren't good enough, look at what God did with them, and then consider what God can do with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this morning. Lord, I pray that You help us endeavor and push to be everything You'd ask of us. Lord, it ain't right for us to get caught up in self-esteem and low ego. But Father, help us to see you in every situation and to follow you in every situation. And we'll quickly begin to see that every frailty we have is just another opportunity for your strength. That every doubt and fear we have is the perfect introduction to your amazing strength and grace. Lord, it is about relying on you and, Lord, watching the blessings and watching the great victories roll in. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory for these things because, Lord, it is not of us but of you. Lord, we know this as that verse says, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And, Lord, that comes from you. So, Lord, help us not to doubt. Lord, you will give us everything we need. And there's no reason for us to have any fear. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.